Hi, and welcome to Only the Avatar.
An Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast, and I'm Veda.
And I'm Christina, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 9, Nightmares and Daydreams.
Hello, it feels good to be back, and I gotta give a shout out to our guest host last week, Tiffany. You did such a great job, and it was so fun listening back to the episode because, I mean, I usually don't like listening to myself, but it was fun listening to Tiffany and you gab away about such a fun episode.
Yeah, it was nice. It was like cool to have her on the show and everything like that. And she was also asking us, like, what's our process with preparing? So it was interesting to think about, like, oh, wow, we do work to do this podcast. So again, thank you to all of you guys listening out there. Really appreciate it. Remember to like and subscribe and all the good
stuff.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. How was your week? Yeah,
week's been okay. Just a lot of work. I've been really into, like, painting. Oh, and I started a show with actual humans in them instead of all the cartoons.
Who is she?
Right. So I've been watching Mythic Quest on Apple TV. It has Mac from It's Always Sunny from Philadelphia. But I really like the show. It's a comedy, but it also just discusses, like, the difference between being an artist and selling your soul to corporate America, and like, where is that line of, like, you're an artist that can make money? So I really like that. It's pretty subtle of a theme in the show, but I really like that they're touching on it, because you just think, oh, this is a comedy and things like that. But the last episode especially was that I watched didn't even focus on the main characters at all. It focused on another couple. I don't really know how it ties in, but their whole thing was they basically broke up because one was feeding into corporate America, one was not. One wanted to keep their game very similar to the original package, but then, you know, they kind of sold out. And I'm wondering how it will tie into the rest of the show, but I was like, oh, that's such a cool concept, because it is true. When do we stop selling our soul to the
always
man?
Always in capitalism. That's what we do.
What about you? It sounds like you had a pretty epic week.
I really did. It was like the best way to get out of my COVID grind. I was in a choir. The show was called The Revival, and it was a celebration of Juneteenth. So, but there was, like, even if you aren't Black, like, there was a lot of, like, healing and things that you could have gotten from the show as well. And as part of the choir, we did a lot of rituals of, like, cleansing for the audience. Like, we did this hand washing thing. We had all this beautiful music that really covered so much of the emotion of the year in a real subtle way. Like, whether it was feeling rage about how things are handled, or, like, the energies that come from a march, or, like, doing joyful protest and thinking about, like, our ancestors, a level of connection, and, like, creating spirituality through art within yourself, and then singing with a larger group and creating this huge, like, community space of, like, everyone really doing all this motion. And the show was at The Shed, which is an awesome theater space in Hudson Yards in New York. And it was, like, it was just so fun. And so we had a week of rehearsals for the choir, and maybe, like, 2 weeks for the soloists and the band. And we learned, like, 10 to 12 pieces of music in a week, which is
That's a lot.
So it was just, like, using such a different piece of my brain, singing with all these great performers. Like, also, like, everyone legit is, like, a professional singer except me, and I was like,
well, look at you could be a professional singer then.
I was like, but it was really fun. I had the best time, and, like, it was just such a joy to sing that music. Like, it really
was awesome.
Like, it elevated everything, and so it was fun. Like, I was like, who is she? She's booked and busy, like, working from working till 4, rushing to rehearsal from 5 to 9.
I gotta, like, make it to rehearsal,
like, you know, wow. Like, getting on the subway, also, like, getting home late, like, I don't know, like, dancing, moving around, being active, like, using parts of my brain that I haven't used in a long time. So it was great. I felt so energized. Even my mom was like, you're glowing. And I was like, yeah, because I'm happy.
Yeah. I feel like it's crazy to think about, like, wow, you're getting home late, you're taking the subway. It's like kind of like the world is back to normal in a sense because we are vaccinated, because we can go on the subway, yeah. because people are returning to their offices if you have to return to the office. Just feels like a different energy in the city too, just because most of us are vaccinated.
The energy in the city is horny as hell. Like, it is so horny. Like, I went to a movie last night and I was walking back, and I went to a late movie. And I was walking back and I was like, what is going on? Like, I could have cut it with a knife. And even the other day.
The horniness in the room.
It was like worse than like a freshman year of college energy. And I'm like, what is happening? I've never felt the city like this. So it's a lot. Like, I'm like,
it's the roaring 20s, you know, like back, you know, after the Depression, they went crazy. That's what we're doing now. I heard on TikTok, it seems everyone was like, I went from being in my young 20s to now being in my mid 20s. And everyone that's going out is a youth. Where do I go to bars and things like that? Which is just so funny to think about.
They're youths too. And they're out and about. But it's a wild energy. Sometimes I'm like, I think if we listen back to old episodes of us, like, in the middle of the pandemic, mm-hmm. you know, I was really hoping we would see a lot more change than we have. And, like, sometimes I feel like I have changed during the pandemic. Do you know what I mean? There's, mm-hmm. like, I'm more sure of my values. There are definitely friendships that aren't as strong. There's friendships that are stronger. There's, like, mm-hmm. you know, my interest in, like, how I want to work or how I want to live my life have changed. And I assume that most people also have worked through these things. So it's just weird to go back to normal life when you've had so many shifts, you know? And and I don't really want to go back to normal life, but obviously I'm happy to be, like, out and about and socialize. Yeah. And I'm, like, so grateful to be vaccinated because there's so many parts of the world that are struggling. And, like, it's insane that we're open. And a majority of us are vaccinated, like, when you think about it.
Yeah. And I think, like, also it's just like you said, like, we've now had time to reflect because we used to have so much time to just, like, distract ourselves from things that we don't really feel like thinking about. We'd, like, go to work, we'd commute, we'd hang out with people we probably, like, wouldn't be friends with if we'd, like, choose to, you know, like, you have those mm-hmm. casual friends. I heard that the casual friend is now dead in a sense, right? Like, you only want to be around people that you truly, really, actually genuinely enjoy. And I think that we have to accommodate for that shift. Like, think about people who are returning to work. A lot of them are like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going into work when I don't need to. I don't need to spend 2 hours of my day. And I think a lot of corporate America and a lot of people are trying to be like, let's just go back to the way things were in the past. No, it's a fundamental shift we've all been through. We can't just go back to the way things were. And I don't think anyone really wants that at the end of the day. We all want to be vaccinated, but we all at the end of the day want to, like, use the time that we had in COVID to make those changes to, like, be impacted in the future so we can all have a better future.
So
that's just my thoughts on it.
It's been a lot. It's been a lot. And, like, it's just wild that we have so much of this documented. I know I want to go back and listen to some of the early days when we were probably like, what's happening? You know, and just
like in our podcast.
Yes, because we have.
Oh my gosh. Maybe we'll be in a museum one day of, like, life during the pandemic podcast, audio versions. And it's our podcast.
Because we definitely talked about it a lot.
We talked about we talked about the pandemic. We also talked about, like, the election a lot too.
Yeah.
And
oh,
our
my
own
God.
Perspective. And we talked a lot about a lot of things. We're also a social commentary podcast, guys. No, I'm just kidding.
So I'm happy to be back, and we're almost done with the show, which is also just, like,
kind of sad in a sense, right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
It's been a lot of fun doing it, but we still have a lot to go. So.
Yes, we do. So should we jump in?
Yeah, let's do it. So the day of the invasion is only 4 days away, and Aang is bugging out. He is freaking out. He feels really unprepared overall. Like, he doesn't know how to firebend, and, you know, the stress of it all is just really getting to him. So he's having all these crazy nightmares about facing the Fire Lord, and it's waking him up in the middle of the night. And instead of trying to fall back asleep, he lets those nightmares get to him and says, oh, I got to keep training. So he's training all day and all night until the day of the attack. But the lack of sleep is starting to get to him. And he's, even though he's up, he's continuing continuing to have these crazy types of dreams during the day, these like daydreams.
He's hallucinating. He's hallucinating. So the gang tries
But I just said daydreams because it's the name of the episode is called Nightmares and Daydreams. Yeah.
The gang tries to comfort Aang, and they all use different methods to relieve stress because they can – you can look at his face. He has, like, really
bags under his eyes. It's bad.
So they try hot yoga, acupuncture, therapy. And by the end of the episode, the gang is able to successfully calm Aang's nerves, and he feels more confident about the invasion. And it's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, especially I like that he has that final dream with Fire Lord Ozai, and instead of Aang losing his pants, it's Fire Lord Ozai that doesn't have any pants on.
Yes, lucid dreaming works. I don't know if you ever tried it, but it does work, and that definitely seemed like a lucid dreaming moment.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, Zuko is back in the Fire Nation getting pampered by all of his servants, but he still feels kind of left out because there was this huge war meeting with his father, and he thought he was originally left out of that meeting. But fortunately, at the last minute, Zuko's father requests his attendance at the meeting, and Zuko is actually his literal right-hand man. Zuko sat right next to him at the meeting, and it was that moment for Zuko where he's like, wow, my father actually really approves of me. Like, life is good. Everything is set in place. I'm exactly where I wanted to be. But something just feels off. So you know something's about to happen with Zuko right now.
Yeah. This episode is really interesting. Like, there's a lot of the animation style. Like, I like how sometimes it calls to other animes. And
it's heavily influenced by a bunch of different types of anime, but also other types of films as well. Like Lord of the Rings, The Grudge, Nightmare on Elm Street. So
there's a ton of references in this episode. But First of all, I was like, I cannot believe this invasion is 4 days away. Like, that to me was just absolutely shocking. And then the reminder that Aang doesn't know anything, like even the basics of firebending, he doesn't know.
That's why he feels so unprepared and he's freaking out. But isn't it crazy that they're 4 days early and Sokka was like, we're running behind. I guess they really did cut those. They did cut those bathroom breaks, I guess. They're 4 days early.
How did they get here so quick?
I do not know. But it is crazy because I think if I were in Aang's shoes, I would be like, okay, we just got here. I'm ready to fight. Like, it's today. I'm doing this today. But to have 4 days to just kind of hang out and be nervous, I would hate that.
I would hate that too. Even like before, you know, the waiting period, like before a show, or if you know you have like a dentist appointment and you have like that 2 hours of time that you're like, okay, what do I do during this 2 hours? Like, you start to go crazy. And I feel like, why weren't they doing – I guess they were doing things to prepare during those 4 days. Like, Sokka was working on Appa's armor, you
know. Isn't it crazy that he still had the money from the runaway episode to get him that armor?
Yeah. So I also understood Aang a lot in this episode. I really connected to him because I definitely sometimes handled stress that way. Like, the way
I absolutely – there's so much about this episode I really related to. Like, I'm a pretty anxious person, I'll say. So I feel like I totally got where Aang was coming from. And what I really liked about this episode is that they're like actually talking about being in high pressure situations in general. I don't feel like a lot of shows really talk about that kind of stress and anxiety when you're about to do something huge, especially on a kid show.
And also like what he's doing is so huge. And I like that sometimes. Yeah. And of course, like, you don't think about it all the time, right? Like the gravity of the situation, it comes in waves. And like, maybe they were handling a ton of different stuff. So he kind of forgot because he was looking at it like day by day. And it's like, oh my God, I'm actually here. I actually have to do this. Am I ready?
Yeah. And you don't have time to think. And now he has 4 days to think about it. That is not good. Keep that mind busy, man.
Yeah. So I totally get it. And I feel like there's different types of people in the world. Like, there's some people who like, okay, you have a big exam. Like, are you going to cram to the last minute or are you going to take 1 day to rest?
What do you do? I typically... I cram until the very last minute.
I cram until the very last minute.
Because I feel like in my mind, if I fail, at least I could say, well, I did everything I could in my power to be successful. If I did take that day off and I failed, I'd be like, wow, I really could have used that extra day to study. Like if I crammed it last minute, in my mind, I'm like, I did everything I could and this is it. And maybe that's kind of what Aang is thinking. That's why he's staying up in the middle of the night to punch trees and train.
I totally understood that because like I would have done the same thing. And it's kind of funny because you see Sokka like resting and like, honestly, I would have thought that Sokka would have been the same way of like, let's try to get everything done. And he just rested.
I was surprised by that too, because he is the planner of the group. Like Toph obviously would not be, she'd be chilling. Katara, I could see her maybe getting a little anxious, but I was really surprised about Sokka just chilling a bit. At the end of the day, the weight of the world, the weight of this battle is not on Sokka. It's on Aang. Everyone's waiting for Aang and the Avatar to end the Fire Lord. So it's all on him. So I totally get the pressure that he's feeling.
All of the dream sequences and the hallucinations of the show really well done. Animation-wise, imagery-wise, even like I still get some anxiety dreams about like missing tests. Like, you know, the dream
I
where
always
he's,
do that.
Where he's like, I slept through the invasion.
That's really funny. I have that dream a lot. I definitely have the dream of like, I didn't study for my science test. Wait, I'm 30 years old. I don't take science tests anymore. And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night.
I get one where I like have this dream where I just kept skipping class and then I forget that there's the test and then like I have to go to the test and like things like that. It's why do we all still have these high stress dreams about school?
Because I guess in our formative years, that was like the biggest thing in our lives. And I feel like dreams are very focused on like childhood and things like that. But it is crazy because you can look up stuff like, what does a whale mean in your dream? What does missing a test mean in your dream? And it like kind of relates to something. So I find that kind of stuff kind of interesting, how dreams interpret what's going on in your actual life. Because I mean, I looked up what it means to feel like you're taking a test and you don't know all the answers or you don't know anything, you didn't prepare. It means you're highly stressed at that moment. But it's like a time period where you're very high stress. And clearly Aang is going through that too right now.
Of course. I was also laughing at like the depictions of Ozai, you know, in his dreams. And like I think the first time we see him, it looks very Dragon Ball Z to me. You know, like
Dragon Ball Z, Naruto.
Yeah, and then the second one was Naruto for sure, because he even had the ribbon around his head.
Okay.
And so the first one,
I liked how
they had the spiky hair and like they're all like kind of like stouter drawings.
I like also that he like had his pants chained onto him to be like, oh, that's not gonna happen this time. And then but I didn't think of that other thing.
And then also like I have to say, Aang is so hard on himself. And I also related to that because sometimes I'm like really hard on myself too. And like Katara has, you know, like comparing, like Toph is not that hard on herself, but she doesn't she like buries her emotions. Katara is like, she kind of goes into a more of like a depressive state rather than just being like really mean to herself sometimes. I feel like Aang gets really mean to himself.
I think he, you know, the world is on his shoulders, and also he has a reason to be kind of scared. He's only been training for like 3 months.
I know.
And we think about the other avatars. He probably knows the history of all the avatars in the past because, you know, it's part of him. And it's taken them like years and years to prepare to be like a fully trained avatar. So he has 3 months to not only be a fully trained avatar without firebending, eeks, right?
Yeah.
But then he also has to like save the world. Like that's so much pressure. So you get that he's unprepared because in a sense he is unprepared.
He is unprepared. And I like that he's honest with himself as well because he knows that that's the case. And it like he was – I really like how they drew him and showed how tired he was and how like
– I like the bags under his eyes. Yeah. I thought that was just really great. You know, the episode's called Nightmares and Daydreams. It's all about how bad his sleep is. And as someone who is bad at sleeping, who has like anxiety issues, like that is the main thing. In high pressure situations, I do not sleep well. And most people don't in high pressure situations.
Oh my God, Christina is probably relating to this episode.
I related to that episode so much because that's me with my bags under my eyes during high pressure. Pressure situation. So I totally get where Aang's coming from.
Okay. Of course, we have to talk about one of the daydreams when Aang confesses his love for Katara and they like make out and then
wait. So at first I really thought like, wow, he's actually like just going so crazy. He's admitting his love to Katara. Good for him. This is going well. And then he says, "You're my forever girl, Toots." And I'm like, okay, this is not real. Dang. So close.
And then we see him like making out with the air and like puckering, juicy, wet kiss. And Katara just being like, are you okay? And he's like, I dreamt I was underwater. Like, that was a really good save.
You, because you're puckering your lips and you're underwater too. That makes sense.
Really, really good save. But I actually loved that moment because I feel like it helped us get into like all of the subconscious thoughts are eating away. Like there's some thoughts that are real, some worries that are real, some feelings that are real, and some that are just like crazy. I think towards the end, right, when he's just sitting there and it seems like all the rocks and the trees are moving and everything's talking to him because he's hallucinating so much. Like, it's almost like he did really go into the depth of his own anxiety to finally be able to relax. But before we jump into that, let's talk about all of the things that he tried to feel better. The hot yoga is the first one.
No, yeah, I loved all the things that he was doing, hot yoga. I do relate to Aang. This is a part where I really relate to Aang, where you're trying to do something to calm yourself down, right? You're like, hot yoga. It will de-stress you. Yoga is like something that de-stresses you, but he's in a hot room and he's like, hot, heat, fire, fire, Lord. Like, you just find ways to like get, like you find ways to relate to your situation that's an issue and you just can't like latch on to it. I totally get that. I thought that was so funny.
Me too. I was like, that is, and also I don't like hot yoga. I like yoga, but I really don't like hot yoga. So seeing him being like, I hate this, was really funny. The sheep and the general area, the island that they're on is so beautiful. And I actually loved the sheep and the role that they play in the episode.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Like, they have literal sheep in this episode where he can't sleep and you count sheep to go to sleep. I'm like, very cool. Very that clever is funny. Writers.
Ha, ha, ha. So I really like that section. And I like how they use the sheep throughout the episode. Like when he's in therapy, quote unquote, Sokka's acting. Like, he gives him a sheep and he's like, blow into this pillow, and they make him this bed at the end of it. So I really like the part the sheep's play in the show in general.
No, yeah, and I like that. I loved Toph trying to give him like this weird acupuncture, and she's just like banging her feet on the ground and it's going up and
honestly,
down.
Honestly, that massage looked great though. Like, I really need one. I still haven't gone yet. Like, my shoulders are very tight.
Yeah, I like how she goes, sorry, I forgot you have baby skin. Like, that's so Toph of her to like try to help, but like always have that like slide remark inside there. And I like that she's like, we could do acupuncture instead, and he runs away. But like, that's probably the one thing that would actually maybe help him de-stress.
Agreed.
But have you ever watched Parks and Rec?
No.
Where, so there's an episode called Treat Yourself, and there's this really highly stressed guy that goes with other people to de-stress, and he's like, man, you need to calm down, maybe try this or that in a similar situation. And so they try to get him to do acupuncture, and so he has all these needles. He looks so stressed out. He's like, I've never been more stressed in my life. So, like, maybe that would have been Aang.
It could have been, honestly.
But what did you think about, like, which one of the nightmares was your favorite that was depicted?
I don't think it was. It was more of one of the daydream / hallucinating thing. I loved the guru coming up and singing a song and being like, this chakra sandwich tastes good or whatever.
Doesn't he look kind of like a Hindu god in that sense too? Because he has like the six arms and legs as well.
Does he? I don't remember.
I think so.
I mean, probably, but his whole bit there was really funny. I also loved the rock formation circle. And honestly, the last Momo's voice and Appa's voice in the hallucination were so funny. I was dead.
Yeah, I thought it was just so funny that like Appa was the one's like, you gotta take care of yourself, Aang. Like, he knows deep down he has to do that too, but it's like coming out through Appa. And I just love this like fake like hatred, like they had this the game of Appa and Momo actually hating each other, like that, even though they don't. I love that they try to play that out in so many different episodes. And I think the fight scene that they do is like based off of like a Star Wars battle as well. So I just love how they're tying in so many different media into the episodes as well. I feel like there's been so many Star Wars references in Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's like Naruto or Dragon Ball Z that's going on and some of the nightmares that's going on. So I really like that they're playing around with that form.
What is the longest amount of time you've stayed awake?
You know what? I don't even want to think about it because that's not going to help me go to sleep tonight. So not thinking about it. I will say though that my favorite nightmare was the last one he had, because you could tell that like each nightmare he had got worse and worse each time. Mm-hmm. And so that last one, I think it was like kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street-ish, where, you know, everyone around him is just, it was kind of like a hippie, like if you were stoned or something, be mm-hmm. like, whoa, this is weird. But everyone around him was suffering and dying because he couldn't step up to the plate and get things done, right? He couldn't defeat the Fire Lord. So he's stuck in ice and Toph is no eyes. She's not just blind.
I know,
no
that part
eyes.
Was so scary.
Yeah. So you could tell like it's just getting worse and worse as he doesn't sleep at night. So that was my favorite one, just because it showcases like he's not just scared for himself. He's scared for the people around him.
Yeah. It's so scary. I liked the section of the episode. I actually really love how his friends got together and tried to help him and calm him down because they understand what he needed. I like how they all tried different things. I like the pep talk at the end and their belief in him. It was very moving and beautiful. The Zuko. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just love that at the end of the day, like they're just really supportive. Like they really are the gang. They're really there to help and support Aang and just saying like you are doing everything you need to do, like you can do this, be confident.
Because they're like, you're ready for this.
I love that they did that.
Me too. And he just needed to hear that, you know.
Yeah, he needed that support system from like people that really truly care about him to be successful. And now we're seeing Zuko, who does not have that big support system anymore to make him really successful, because he has Mei, but like, ugh. Mei, whatever.
I mean, their whole section of the episode, like, I like that we got to see some tenderness between mm-hmm. Mei and Zuko. I like that we got to see some things in the palace life, like he's a prince, he doesn't have to walk, you know, and it's literally across the street.
It just showcases too that like this should be Zuko's dream life. Like,
yes,
his father cares about him. Like, he got invited to the war meeting. He's being shown around everywhere with servants. He has a girlfriend, but it just, something always feels off. And I just thought it was interesting that they chose like a meeting. Like, oh, Zuko, like the premise was thinking about this meeting of, you know, is this the moment that will be truth? Like, because it's like full circle in a sense, because the last time he was in a meeting, he got his scar and then he, you know, got banished. So it's like kind of a scary moment for him to feel like, oh, is something bad going to happen mm-hmm. to me again in this meeting? But everything goes well. And I really do think that this is the only true way that Zuko can confidently join. Spoiler alerts, but this is the only way for Zuko to confidently, always without a doubt in his mind, join Team Avatar, join the gang, because he needed to see both sides of it. He needed mm-hmm. to see, you know, like he's kind of like a grass is always greener on the other side kind of guy. Like, he's been striving to get to this goal and he got to that goal and it's just not what he expected. And mm-hmm. that's the only way he could really be like, no, I'm making that choice to not stay. I'm leaving instead. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a really important scene or a really important episode for Zuko's growth.
Yes. And he's starting to understand himself more. Like, even though mm-hmm. he can feel, like, his intuition is like, this feels wrong. And he's able mm-hmm. to be like, yes, this feels wrong. He's not at the point to understand why it feels wrong.
Yeah.
But at least he's seeing it, right? And, like, the first mm-hmm. step is being able to be like, why does this feel weird? Mm-hmm. Why am I not? And, like, he's finally admitting his own changes within himself. And I think it's really good for him, because I feel like he was so blocked all the time too, you know, of like mm-hmm. knowing what, because he had a one track mind of being like, I gotta just catch the Avatar and make my dad proud.
Yeah, he never thought about why he really needs that. And now he has time to think about, why did I want this so bad? Why is this really making me happy? Did I always think this was going to make me happy? Now he has time to reflect. Kind of like how Aang has time to reflect in 4 days.
I know. They're both our boys are handling it very differently, but they're both, you know? And it's interesting too, in this episode, I just got this feeling like, I just need them. I just need Zuko to join them. Like, there were so many moments where I suddenly was like, ah, when is he going to join the gang? You know, like,
I think it's coming soon.
I could feel it in this episode, especially when they're like, he doesn't even know the basics of firebending, or like, and then seeing like Zuko in this like luxurious life, and you're like, ah, you want to go back on the road. You miss those days.
Yeah, you're not a house cat. You're a feral cat. You got to get out there, get on the streets, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But overall, I really like this episode. When I was like, oh, we have to watch this episode, I was like, yeah, like I always just thought it was like a very average episode, but like I really like the theme of them talking about being in high pressure situations. Mm-hmm. I like the growth of Zuko's character, so I think I'm going to give this episode like a 4.6 out of 5, I would say, because I do think, although it is a really funny episode, also just the silliness and craziness of the Appa and Momo fight,
it's so funny.
I'm and like, also, this is a silly episode. I love it. So
also the moment where like Ozai's not wearing pants, like, and ending with that, and he's like, my royal bits or whatever, like, oh, my royal parts. Like the fact that they ended the episode with that just like made me laugh out loud. I was like, this is so dumb and funny. But yeah, I like the humor. I like the jokes. I like that it covers a really important issue of like managing stress and importance of sleep and like support systems and friendship and trusting your intuition, believing in yourself. It actually covers a lot of great themes in the episode.
Yeah,
it's really fun. And,
but you don't think about those themes really when you're just watching the episode. You're like, this is just a fun episode. Yeah. When you're really dissecting it, there's so many powerful themes, and it really does bring the plot forward, because it does. This is the moment Zuko's like, wait a second, something's off.
Yes, you know? And then it also reminds us as the viewer, like, because we've had so many things happen in the last few episodes that weren't tied to the invasion. You know, like, we had a lot of stuff happen. And so, like, I almost forgot that, oh, yeah, guys, we got to go do this. And then, like, this really reminded me as a viewer, we have 4 days to go do this. Like, this is a high pressure situation. And I also totally, like, just obviously I knew, but, like, it was like a brain fart until he said it. He doesn't know a firebending. So it was just like, I was like, oh, Lord.
But then Sokka does make a good point of saying you're not going to even use firebending because you literally can't, because it's the Day of Black Sun. So it does make sense. That's not something you should harp on, because no one can firebend.
So it's like Sokka got it. But at the same time, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, he has things to learn. Like, you know, so it was a good reminder episode. And I loved all the humor, and I love the animation style in this. Mm-hmm. And just a quick shift in tone. I would also do like a 4.6 or 4.7 though, because I like loved the scary tone of some of the early, like, I like in the last episode and that. So yeah, overall it was a really fun episode though.
Yeah, I liked it. And it's not one of my favorites, but it's still a solid episode. It's a strong episode. That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
But cool. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Remember to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.